to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector, sponsored by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 33 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host. We have a really interesting, fun interview from NFL Hall of Famer Bob Lilly from the Dallas Cowboys today. We talk old-time NFL. We talk about the Hall of Fame. We talk about getting requests for autographs and stuff. So it's a really fun interview, and we learn a lot about Mr. Lilly. So hopefully you enjoy the interview coming up. As I said, my name is Jeff Baker. I'm your host for the program. Welcome to our new listeners. We've been getting a lot of new listeners to the show lately, and I welcome you. We have a fun show for you coming up. If you need to get a hold of me anyway, you can send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. for any feedback for the show. If you're interested in being a guest, or if you know one that might be a guest in our future program, send me a quick email and we can hopefully line somebody up, or even line you up for a future episode. You can find our podcast all over the place. The most fun way to find it is to, if you have an Alexa device, just say, "Alexa, play TTM Podcasts," and you can hear this episode and all the episodes of our podcast right on your Alexa device. We're also on Spotify. We are on Podbean. We're on Google Listen. We're on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We have a forum on sportscardforum.com. So if you want to talk about the podcast, you can go check out the forum on sportscardforum.com. And let's get on to our first segment, which is, as always, which is Baker's Dozen, which is basically a brain dump of what's been going on in the hobby for the last week or so. And first thing, I want to let everyone know that we will not be having a show next week. Our next show will be Sunday, December 8th. We are taking next week off. I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Today is Sunday, November 24th. We have the big NFL schedule on tap this week, and we have the Patriots and Cowboys on, and kind of in honor of we have Mr. Bob Lilly from the Cowboys on for an interview. So it's kind of Cowboys weekend for TTM Cast, and I just want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. As I said, we will be off next week. Our next show will be Sunday, December 8th. Just a couple other things of note. The 2019 Topps Gallery set has arrived, and the set features drawings from various artists, and one of the artists that's featured in the Topps Gallery set is Maz Adams, who was a friend of the show, been on the show a couple months ago, and he has a bunch of cards that he did drawings for, and he got featured in this 2019 Topps Gallery set. So I saw a couple of packs being opened, and it looks like a kind of a neat set, and I recommend picking it up. And I'm sure if you get one of Maz's cards, he will sign it for you. Also, just one thing that I noticed, Rich Mueller from Sports Collectors Daily has been doing a lot of articles recently on old newspaper accounts of hobby accounts. He did one on a 1971 show that was held in Los Angeles. He did one of a collector of tobacco cards from 1960. These articles are really interesting and fun to read, so I recommend going to sportscollectorsdaily.com and checking out Rich Mueller's articles. And now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. This segment is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who passed away after I had sent him out a TTM request. So in honor of Mr. Vern Rapp, we kind of, as a service to my fellow collectors, I always mention people in sports and celebrities who passed away, so you don't send out TTM requests to people who are no longer with us. So we lost a couple people this week. we lost Fred Cox, who was a kicker for the Minnesota Vikings in the 70s, and he passed away. He was 80 years old, and one of the interesting things about Mr. Cox's life is that he was the co-inventor of the Nerf football, which is kind of interesting, kind of cool, I guess. When Fred Cox was a kicker for the Vikings, he was trying to teach kids how to kick a football, and he was working with the coach from University of Minnesota, and they came up with an idea of how to better give the kids something better to kick before they started kicking with real footballs. And they invented the Nerf. They co-invented the Nerf football. And then Parker Brothers bought the patent, and the rest is history. So Fred Cox was a great designer, a great TTMer, and he was a member of the Minnesota Vikings back in the 70s, as I said, and he passed away. He was just short of his 81st birthday. He was 80 years old. One other person that we lost this past week was a trailblazer, if you will, in the NBA. His name was Watt Misaka, and he was the first Japanese-American, the first non-white member of the NBA. He played with the New York Knicks during the Knicks in 1947, so kind of right after World War II. Mr. Misaka was a Japanese-American basketball player who was the first non-white member of the NBA. We lost Mr. Misaka this past week, so my condolences go out to their family, and we're sorry for your loss. And lastly, we've had a few good returns this past week. Not a lot, but we're starting to get it. I just sent out probably another 10 this past week, so I've got probably about 25 out in the past 2 weeks, so we should be getting some pretty good returns in the next couple weeks, maybe after the holiday. I got a return from Don Warner, who was a catcher for the Cincinnati Reds. I got it on his 1978 rookie card. I had Bill Narahodny from the White Sox that already signed it, so Don Warner makes it two. I still need Kevin Palsy and Rick Sweet for this card, but a nice addition to the collection. I got two returns from Dan Fouts, who was all-around TTM good guy. He signed his rookie card and his 1983 Topps card, which is it was an all-pro card, so Mr. Fouts signed two cards for me. This took about a month and a half, no, maybe even longer, maybe about 2 months. The Don Warner card came back really quick, less than a week. And lastly, I got a return from Tony Collins from the New England Patriots. I got him his 83 card and his 88 Topps card. He signed both of them for me. And that one took a couple months, so getting some returns, some old returns that had out there, and it's always nice to get returns that you had out for a while. So the returns keeps trickling in. With the holidays coming up, I don't envision sending out too many. I don't like to send out. Usually, don't like to send out during the holidays. I know people are busy running around with family and going to different events, so it's I find it harder to get people to sign during the holidays, so I might have one or two more weeks of TTM requests to you send out, and then I will wait until probably after the new year to wrap up again. But I do have a bunch out, so hopefully we'll have some returns in 2 weeks when we have our next show on December 8th. And we close out our program with one of my favorite interviews that I've done since I started this show. I met Mr. Bob Lilly, who was an NFL Hall of Famer from the Dallas Cowboys at the recent show in Wilmington at the Shriners Auditorium about 3 weeks ago now. And I just interviewed him. I requested an interview, and he was kind enough to say yes. And then we kind of went back and forth, setting up a time. I finally got a time the other day, and we had a nice talk. So it's a long interview, but it's well worth it. To hang around and listen to the whole thing, because we talk all sorts of old NFL stuff, and we also talk about TTMs and autograph requests. So hopefully you enjoy our interview with Mr. Bob Lully.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTMcast hotline is NFL Hall of Famer and Mr. Cowboy himself, Mr. Bob Lilly. Welcome to the show, Mr. Lilly.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah. Well, as you know, we met at the Wilmington, Massachusetts card show at the Shriners Auditorium last weekend, and it was a pleasure to meet you face-to-face, and I appreciate your time today joining the program to talk a little about your career and collectibles. So thank you for joining the program.
You bet, yeah.
The thing that always I always enjoy when I introduce somebody that accomplishes you, I always start with as mentioning you as a Hall of Famer, because I think that really is the pinnacle of your professional playing career. Would you like to talk to me a little about that?
Well,
getting into the Hall of Fame and your feelings on that.
It's a huge honor. I mean, it's something, you know, I grew up in a town of 1,300 people and got a scholarship to TCU after my high school career. And TCU was about 3,900 people. And anyway, while I was there, I was fortunate enough to have a good team around me, and I made All-American. And the same year, my senior year in college, the Dallas Cowboys and the Dallas Texans, who are now the Chiefs, both originated that year, 1960. So in 1961, I was drafted by both clubs, number one by the Cowboys and number two by the Texans. And I asked my head coach, Abe Martin, at the time, I said, I don't know what to do. I said, most of my buddies from the Southwest Conference are going to the Texans. And he said, well, depends on whether you want to stay around here or not and what you want to do. And I said, well, I do want to stay around here. I grew up in Texas, and of course that was at west of here a little ways. But anyway, I did sign up with the Cowboys and turned out to be a good choice, although the Texans went on and did very well in Kansas City. But you know, you make new friends, just like I made new friends when I went to college. And I had great friends with the Cowboys. Coach Landry was outstanding as a coach and as a person. And anyway, we played the flex defense, which I think was made for people like me.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. And I think everybody did. We all knew exactly what we were supposed to do, and we all did what we were supposed to do. Sometimes you get whipped, but still, if you do what you're supposed to do together, it usually works out pretty well. And anyway, my career with the Cowboys was very good. The Hall of Fame, I didn't ever think about. I never thought about getting in it. It never entered my mind till probably my last year or two, and somebody said, you may get in the Hall of Fame. And I thought, no, I don't think so. You know, my heroes are in the Hall of Fame.
That's funny.
So anyway, sure enough, my eligibility was in 5 years, and I wasn't even thinking about it. I got a call, and I thought, I can't believe this. It's got to be a real blessing here. And so anyway, I had about 50 friends and family come up to Canton, and it was a much smaller scale than today. I mean, it was the same little Hall of Fame building that's out front, but now they've added on everything, and they hold it in the stadium now. They rebuilt that stadium. And but it was very, we only had like 4 to 5 guys every year back then.
Yep.
And so your coach or your high school coach or college or whatever did the introduction back then. I'd say probably 80% of the time it was the coach that you loved, your pro coach that you had most of your career. And anyway, it was, My class was very special to me. It was Deacon Jones and Herb Adderley and myself. And who am I forgetting? Anyway, there's another good friend of mine that I went in with. I think that must be too many hits in the head.
No, don't say that.
but anyway, it was just wonderful because it was such a small, it wasn't a big gathering. It was just with friends and family of each of the players. And we had camaraderie from then on. I mean, Deacon became the Deacon of the Hall of Fame. We always have one day where we have a private meeting for about 2 hours or 3 hours. We make the rookies get up, and I mean, the newcomers.
They're still rookies, right?
Tell their story. And Deacon, you know, he did that wonderfully for many years. And then, of course, Deacon passed away, and Nitschke took over. Actually, Nitschke was doing it then. Deacon took over. He did the same thing.
Okay.
So we had two, but anyway, Deacon did a really good job. He was like a judge. And so anyway, that was a fun part. The parade was fun. It was beautiful the year I got in, and it's such an honor. Coach Landry flew all the way from Thousand Oaks, California, in a private plane and introduced me and flew back that night to training camp. And, of course, I'll always be thankful for that. That was just a lovely thing for him to do. And anyway, I've been back. I haven't been back every year, but I've been back almost every year.
It's a nice exclusive club.
It's a very exclusive club, and it's very exciting. And I still love to go back. And the sad thing is that getting up in age, a lot of your old buddies are not there anymore. They either can't make it or they're gone. And that's really, really sad. I mean, it's Jim Otto was the other one. Jim and I became friends. I haven't seen Jim now in 3 years.
Okay.
He's had some really physical problems. And anyway, he's a great guy. He was a great football player. I played against him 2 or 3 times during my career, even though he was at Oakland and I was with the Cowboys. And, of course, Deacon was great. And Herb and I were teammates. Actually, we played against him at Green Bay, and then Herb came to the Cowboys his last 2 years.
Okay.
We went to a couple of Super Bowls. He was actually on the Super Bowl, our first Super Bowl victory, which was Super Bowl VI.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead. I apologize.
That's it. I'll keep talking if you don't stop me.
No, it's okay. You're doing my job for me. I appreciate that. No, in terms of, you know, you had the benefit or the foresight, I guess, to be with the team, you know, a brand new team, and you saw the Cowboys build over the years into, you know, the dynasty that they were. Early on, did you see, you know, into, you know, 63, 64, 65, did you see the writing on the wall that this is going to be a great team and a great situation to you?
Yes, I did. 61, I was kind of disappointed because I didn't really, I didn't know. I mean, we didn't know a whole lot about pro football because they had never had a team during my lifetime. They might have had one in Baltimore, I think, was there before they went to Baltimore. I don't know what they called them. But so I had no foresight as far as what was going on. But what had happened the first year, the Cowboys formed a team to try to push the Texans out of Dallas. I found out later. Because they were afraid the AFL was going to get all the good the name did. They went to Houston, they went to Dallas, they went to Denver, went to places that probably the NFL had their eyes on. And so, but Coach Martin was right, my college coach, because after 3 or 4 years, my third year actually, the Texans had played 60, 61, 62, I believe I'm correct. And my third year was 63, and we took over. The Texans moved to Kansas City, I believe, in 63.
Okay.
And we took over their practice field, which was pretty near SMU, wasn't far at all. And then, you know, of course, our first draft was pretty good. We got some pretty good players. My second year, they drafted really well. We got a lot of good players out of that draft. And then my third year, we started getting people like Leroy Jordan and Mel Renfro and you know, I mean,
there's a couple lightweights there, huh?
Yeah, there were some good people coming in now. And Dave Manders came, and he made it real good. George Andre came, Cornell Green, they all came about my second and third year. And Ralph Neely came, I think, in 64, 65, and then it just kept, you know, going. And they actually drafted Roger about probably my sixth or seventh year. Roger was at Naval Academy.
Yep.
And, of course, we had Meredith. And we had started out with LeBaron and Meredith, and then drafted Craig Martin and Jerry Rome. Jerry, I think, was traded somewhere else, but Craig was a backup to Don. And when Don retired, that was the year that Don retired in, I think, in 68, I believe. Roger came that year, came to the Cowboys. So we had him backing up Craig. And, you know, and then we had another backup, Bob Belden, was from Canton, Ohio, matter of fact.
Okay.
And so, anyway, we had a pretty good team. We had Bob Hayes in there, too, in the mid-60s.
That's a lot of talent there.
Yeah, we had a lot of talent. I mean, we had Don Perkins, of course, as running back. He was one of the originals. And they traded him on a personal services contract or a future trade. Meredith was the same way. Meredith was a freshman. He was a year older than me, and so was Don Perkins. Okay. Don, they were both very good football players. And then, of course, Garrison took Perkins' place. He came and trained under Perkins for 3 years. So he came in about 66 or 60, probably 66, 67 maybe. And so anyway, we just kept going. And we ultimately, Mike Ditka came down and played. He played on that first Super Bowl team. Herb Adderley played on that first Super Bowl team. We had, and then they both, Mike became a coach. Dan Reeves was a halfback, but he was a quarterback in college, and he played. He was a player, and he wasn't a starter all the time, but he did start a lot of games. And Dan then became assistant coaches like Ditka did, and they coached under Coach Landry for a few years after I left. And then they both became head coaches, and both of them went to Super Bowls. So it was quite an interesting ride throughout my career and after it even.
Yeah, I mean, you saw from nothing to the dynasty in the span of...
Yeah, we were, I think after, in 65, we went to our first bowl game, which we called the Losers Bowl, but it was actually Runner-Up Bowl. And that's runner-up in the conference, I mean, in the NFL.
Okay.
We had the Western and Eastern divisions back then. And then the next year, we played Green Bay and Dallas to go to the first Super Bowl, which was held in L.A. And I got to watch that. I went to Pro Bowl, and this game was it was the Sunday before our Pro Bowl was the next Sunday. So they flew us all in, and we got to go to the first Super Bowl.
So you were at the first Super Bowl in L.A.?
Yeah, I was at the first Super Bowl. Yeah, we were out there. That's where we had the Pro Bowl for all my career.
That's something.
And then the second Super Bowl, we lost to Green Bay up in Green Bay in the Ice Bowl.
Yep.
So we missed out on going to Super Bowl that year. Then the next couple of 3 years, we were in the playoffs. We get to the second or third round and lose. And so then we finally went back in Super Bowl V. We got there, and we lost that one in the last few seconds. We threw a couple of interceptions. They got two field goals and beat us 16-13.
Yeah, you had a memorable moment at the end of that game, if I do recall.
Yeah, I had a little helmet toss about 45, 50 yards. I was embarrassing. One of their rookies brought my helmet over to me and said, "Here's your helmet, Mr. Lilly." I said, "Son, don't. That was not a very good example of sportsmanship." And I said, I said, I appreciate you bringing my helmet over. He said, I don't blame you.
Yeah, that must have been a tough one to take because you were climbing that mountain, and you were just so close.
Yeah, we got very close, and then, of course, the team kept building. I mean, they kept getting players, and they got through. Of course, Drew Pearson came while I was still there. Gray Phil Wright came while I was still there. He was, and anyway, we just kept building, and they went, you know, after I retired, they went back to Super Bowl in 75 and lost to Pittsburgh, and then they may have lost to Pittsburgh again. I don't know
yep.
exactly, but they beat the Broncos in that period of time, 3 or 4 years there, and lost
to Pittsburgh. Well, you've got the important one, though, beating the Dolphins.
Yeah, we beat them pretty well, pretty good.
That was a signature moment for you when you sacked Bob Greasy with that huge loss.
Well, that was I had the help of Larry Cole a little bit, but it's like old Bob always said, how did you get me? And I said, because I was faster than you were. But anyway, he was moaning and groaning about that sack. And I said, Bob, I said, you're the only quarterback in the history of pro football that's ever gone 17 games from the beginning to the end through the Super Bowl and won them all. I said, you don't have anything to be ashamed of. I said, I mean, Larry Cole, I had you bottled up. I just happened to get you. I said, but, that was our day. But your year was the next year.
The next year, that's right. And they don't let anyone forget it now.
No, I don't either. I mean, I think we thought when we watched their film that they were one of the best teams we'd ever seen. I mean, they ran the ball. They were running the ball like 230, 40 yards a game.
Yeah, with Zonker and kick.
Didn't pass but about 40% of the time. And, of course, the flex defense was made for the run. I mean, that's, of course, Coach Landry developed that defense when it was 45% run, 55% pass. I mean, 45% pass and 55% run. And he and Lombardi were the head coaches, head defense, Coach Landry, when Coach Lombardi was a head offensive coach in New York. Both of them were the Giants. Coach Lombardi took the Green Bay job in 59, and Coach Landry took the Cowboy job in 60. So they were both very, very good coaches, and they both had their own way of doing things. Coach Landry was very advanced and had incredibly unique offensive thoughts and as far as football. You know, he was defensive coach and offensive-minded because he was always looking at offensive film. But he also had a pretty complicated defense. It took you about a year or two to learn, generally about 2 years. And,
now you okay, I'm sorry.
Anyway, the flex defense was made for just exactly what we faced against Miami, a powerful running game, and we shut the running game down. And then they had to go to pass, and we had, you know, like I said, we had two Hall of Famers cornerback, and then we had good safeties, and Cornell could easily be in the Ring of Honor, in my opinion. He was an All-American basketball player 2 years at Utah State, and he jumped up and kept Warfield from catching a touchdown pass in that game after a tripping, and still got over there and jumped about 5 or 6 foot off the ground. And it was one of the best plays I ever saw. I don't think anybody ever mentions it. But anyway, we had all these guys in the secondary, and they couldn't pass because we covered them too well. We had those great cornerbacks back there in Cornell, and Hector was back there, and I'm not sure who else was playing.
Sure, but he had a
Cliff Harris, I think,
team.
Was out there. Cliff Harris might have been. I think he was back there.
Yeah, he was there then.
Yeah, he was. Sure. He played in that game.
Yeah, he was a heck of a player.
He was a heck of a player.
Now, do you have the ring that you won when you won the Super Bowl that they gave you?
I got it on right now.
Do you? That's great.
Yeah, that's my wedding band 47 years ago.
I would put that on and never take it off.
Well, I went to, you know, we went to the church and Ann forgot my ring. And so I said, well, don't worry, I've got my Super Bowl ring. That's back when the before my other index finger, my other third finger, got broken. Now it fits perfectly around a pop bottle, you know. So I put it on my, I said, I'll wear this football ring on, and that'll be my wedding band. I've been wearing it ever since.
That's great. That's a great story. Now, you mentioned fingers, and one of the things that I was reading about your career and your playing style is you played with both hands on the ground as opposed to having one hand on the ground before you started rushing the passer or the play. Was there a reason for that?
Well, it was Coach Landry's way for the defensive tackles to play, and also we had the responsibility of stopping gaps, and depending on which defense we were in, we were always in a 4-3. But if we were flex left, in other words, looking at it from behind our defense, if we were flexing left, the defensive end, which I played with mostly, was George Andrew. George would shift over, and he would be in a 4-point stance in front of the tackle, a little bit off the ball.
I would be
right in front of the guard, just like I always was. I didn't ever change my lineup on the line of scrimmage. I was 1 inch from the line of scrimmage with my head because I practiced every day. I had somebody watch me.
Okay.
And I was quick enough that I could get around those guys before they could block me if they were going to zone block. And so, you know, we got to where we could read them pretty well. And but George had keys. I had keys that I was watching. I always, and Leroy would always tell us if the backs were changing around a little bit because we were down in our stance. And that 4-point stance I had used all the way in high school, college. And you can, if you can get low enough, if you're strong enough, they don't move you. I mean, you can stop two guys, and if you have to, you collapse. And that the back then has to go around the pile.
Okay.
When he does, the middle linebacker kills him.
So they didn't try to change you. They said, this is working for you.
Well, they didn't try to change me, but they did. The flex defense was an invention of Coach Landry's. So it just happened to work out that way. But he never told me to get in a 1-point stance, you know, in a one-hand stance.
Yep. Now, is there anyone that when you saw they were coming up on the schedule or during your career, that you're like, oh, damn, I don't want to try to tackle this guy. He hits too hard. Was there anyone that gave you problems?
Well, early in my career, Jim Brown gave us problems.
He gave everyone problems.
He was only about
right?
the best player I ever played against. And in fact, he was, I think, the best running back. First time we ever played him, I was a defensive end first year. And so I saw him coming, and I kind of forced him over to the sideline. I mean, I was there, and I was crouched ready to get him. And I never shut my eyes or anything, and he came right up toward me and just jumped right over me. I looked back, and there he goes for a touchdown. I'm thinking, maybe I better go find another job.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't believe it. But they were in our conference then. Pittsburgh and Cleveland were in our conference.
Okay.
So I got to play against him twice a year for about 6 years and played with him in the Pro Bowl on the same team, thank goodness. But he was a great one. I mean, there was a lot of them. Gale Sayers was fast. I mean, you had to really aim in front of him to get him because trajectory was so fast. And, you know, there were just so many good players. But I think Jim Brown was the first one. But there were a lot of guys, like Bill Brown from Minnesota.
Okay.
Bill, boy, he would hit you. I'm talking about you could see stars when Bill ran at you. But you had to sit there and meet him head on and kill each other, you know. I mean, there's a lot of other good backs. Zonka was good. Mercury Morris was good. Kick was good. But I think Zonka was really a good power runner, and Mercury was really a good, you know, he could go, he was quick and fast and was an excellent runner. We were really worried about them in the Super Bowl. But
Did you get to play against O.J. Simpson?
I played against O.J. I played not much. I think maybe once or twice. Once I know for sure up in, we played, that was the year we went to won the Super Bowl. We played them up there. I think we held him to under 100 yards. in Buffalo.
When I was a kid, I grew up in New England, obviously. When I was a kid, I wanted to go see O.J. Simpson in the worst way. And my dad took me to the game, and it was Patriots-Bills in 73, I think. O.J. took the ball in the first play, ran right off tackle, and then he got in a fight with a guy and punched the guy, and they threw him out of the game. And
oh, my God.
The one game I wanted to see O.J.
The one game you go see, he gets kicked out of the game.
Right, because I was a little kid. I was probably 7 or 8 at that point. And, you know, you don't take little kids to football games, really, especially during the 70s at Foxborough. And I was so heartbroken.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff.
Well, I've kept you a little longer, and we haven't even started talking collectibles. I have one other question for you in regards to your career, and then if we will jump right into collectibles, and I don't want to keep you. I appreciate your time. We're talking to NFL Hall of Famer, Mr. Bob Lilly, Mr. Cowboy himself. I appreciate your time. I noticed the one thing that stands out to me when I look at your career box score, so to speak, is that every year, 14 games started for 14 straight years. That I think that's something you should be really proud of. You know, just the dependability and longevity. Is that something you strive for while you were playing? Is that something you would strive for as you were playing?
I didn't know any better. I mean,
yeah,
we've obviously played hurt many times, but I mean, I did that in high school. I did that in college. You know, it's like, it's interesting because I never missed a regular season game in 14 years. Randy White played my position after I did. He never missed a game for 14 years. And he played, you know, it's kind of ironic. And we both got hurt. Randy's already had some replacements. I know he's had one knee replacement and probably, I think, surgery on the other. And I must be, I had a guardian angel because I don't have a scar on me.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw you last week. You move around like an 18-year-old.
I've got some implants. When we first started, we had 2 bars. I lost a few there and a couple in college, and had bridges for a long time, and they finally wear out, so I had implants. But anyway, that's all right.
Yeah. Now, well, if we could just talk about collectibles and autographs for a couple minutes, and then I'll let you go. I appreciate your time, and we went over a little longer, but I was really interested to learn about your career and all your playing days. But I know, you know, we're a TTM Through the Mail autograph collectors podcast. That's, you know, a lot of people that listen to my program are collectors of one sort or the other. I'm sure they send out autograph requests to you in the mail. Do you get a lot of requests for autographs still in the mail?
Well, I get quite a few, but I don't get many anymore because I had a contract with a group that this last couple of years, and you know, I will sign yes for people, just one card, you know, or something like that.
Yeah,
but I do get a lot of requests for charities that are going to auction off, you know, something. Some people have made these elaborate paintings, or they've made a quilt, or they've done, you know, something, or they have a big picture, or they have football that's got some other names on it. And I do that because those are going to be auctioned off for charities, and I do quite a bit of that. I mean, they send them to my house, and so they have a golf tournament, they have an auction, or, you know, something like that.
Yep.
But I've been going to these memorabilia shows for years and years, although they weren't that prevalent when I was playing. I don't remember going to many of them. They've really grown. I mean, that industry has really grown since I first came up, you know, and I really enjoy going. I enjoy going to these small towns and big towns. I mean, we were in Boston last week, as you know, in the outskirts, and that was a small venue as far as a lot of them, like Chicago, they're huge.
You
know, sure. Huge convention centers and things like that. And Houston, they have a big show there, and they generally have one here in Dallas. But I'm not sure how it's doing. But, no, I enjoy. I love to meet the people. It's really fun to meet fans, older ones especially, that watch me play, because they talk about things that I've forgotten and remind me. Remember?
Yeah, but I mean, I was watching people bring up shirts and helmets and pictures, and it was nice to see somebody that.
Yeah, and those are at the shows. They always have a public. You go out to the public, and I've noticed as I've gotten older that I don't get quite as many as I used to, but still get up about 100, I imagine. Just depending on where you are. If I'm in Texas, it'll be more. If I'm somewhere else, it'll be less. But the main thing I go for to these shows for, and it's like I said earlier, I'm getting, there are fewer of my old buddies that make these shows anymore, and I used to really enjoy visiting with them, having dinner with them, just talking about old times and old games we played against each other, or some of my old teammates are at some of these shows occasionally, and it's really fun to reminisce. And, and the fans, I like talking with the fans. I mean, they're all interesting, and a lot of them have a clue who I am. A lot of them have seen me play and all. And, it's interesting to talk to them and just see what they're thinking, about the Patriots or about the Packers or about,
yep.
I mean, it's just amazing. And anyway, I've got a lot of friends that I played with. I played in the Pro Bowl with, played against. I mean, Tom Max, one very dear friend, and he was one of my adversaries when I was playing. He was a good
one. Sure. Yep. But, now, do you have any memorabilia or mementos?
I've got obviously some of my own.
Yeah,
I've got some others. But right now we moved about a year and a half ago and just downsized, my wife and I, and I haven't got them out because I don't have anywhere to put them. But I got a picture of Jim Brown that he gave me, and it's on my wall, and it's a black and white painting of him. It's very nice, and he signed it, and didn't sign it to me because he didn't know I was going to get it. But anyway, I've got some pictures that both of us signed, and then I've got some autographs from different players that I've got one from Johnny Unitas that he gave me long ago before he passed away. And,
nice.
Team things, footballs that I get at the Hall of Fame, footballs that we got that we did as teams. I've got some footballs that I've got signed by the Pro Bowl guys when we were at the Pro Bowls, and things like that. These are things that I've got a few of them out at my house, but most of them are packed. I don't want to put them out because I think they would get damaged, because I don't really have a place to set them up. We're in the process of having some bookshelves and some shelves where I can put some of these out. I've got my Ring of Honor trophy out there. That's the first one that they had, first Ring of Honor.
Yep.
And then I have my, what else is it? I've got a Super Bowl something somebody gave me, a Super Bowl VI.
Do you have any game shirts? Any game shirts from back when you were playing?
Well, I did have, but you know what happens to them? Is people, when I was young and dumb, after I retired, these people were, they were like some of these card companies. They wanted to buy jerseys that had been worn. So I had about three or four of them.
Okay.
And I think I've got one left, and it's pretty ragged.
Oh, that's bad.
But anyway, they would pay me like $5,000 or something for these jerseys. And, that was back, it's been years ago. And then they would take little pieces out. And now what they do is they send you jerseys they buy at the store. And they make you take pictures of yourself putting it on, you know, wearing it.
Got you.
So you've changed jerseys with your cell phone, and then you send them the movie. And so they can guarantee that you have worn it. And so they take that fabric and they put that, you put that fabric in a card and say, you know, this jersey has been worn by Bob Lilly.
Which it has.
Which it has.
It was funny. I was speaking with Greg Landry a couple of weeks ago about the shirts, and he said that they gave him two shirts. They had two game shirts for the whole year, and they have one that would just get destroyed, and then they have the other one, and then they would just throw away the one that was destroyed, and every once in a while they would keep it at the end of the, he'd keep it for the end of the year, but then he just lose track of them.
That's what we did. I mean, I wish we'd have kept them. I mean, I don't know. You know, there just wasn't that memorabilia stuff going on that whenever I was playing for the most of my career, I mean, toward the end of it. And I actually took my uniform that I wore, in fact, two jerseys, my pants, my helmet, my shoulder pads, pair of shoes. I took all that home, and then when they built the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, I gave them a uniform, and then the Hall of Fame, I gave them some stuff. I don't even know if they still have it or not.
Yeah, I haven't been up to the Football Hall of Fame yet. So.
I haven't seen any of it. They used to have some of it out, but I think they have changed that whole thing up.
Okay. And I just want to talk about one thing. You mentioned taking pictures, and I know you became a photographer scene, so to speak. You know, you turned a hobby into a passion. And how did you really get into photography?
Well, that was my senior year in college. One of the All-American teams I made was the Kodak Coaches All-American team. And I don't think they have it anymore because Kodak's kind of shrunk. They may be calling it something else. But anyway,
it's a digital age, right?
That's the one they gave us each. Kodak, it was a Retina made in Germany. And it was a very, very nice camera, but it wasn't a zoom lens or anything, but it had a fixed lens. It did have a light meter, which didn't work, so we got our own light meter. But anyway, they gave us 200 rolls of film, 100 rolls of color, and 100 rolls of black and white. And they gave us prepaid mailers for all of them. So all we had to do, I was in college then. When I got back, I had taken pictures at some of the All-Star games I'd been in, and I took a camera for that whole year in training camp. For the next year and a half, I shot pictures of Cowboy teammates and various things. And I've still got that old camera. And anyway, I then decided I wanted a darkroom. So the first couple of years I played, I lived in an apartment. And I just put a piece of plywood over part of it, and I put my trays of chemicals on there, and then I had a washer where the water comes out of the spigot in the bathtub. I had a round washer that you just turn the water on, and it went down a hole, and it went in circles and washed the pictures, and then I hung them on a cable I put up where the shower curtain wouldn't normally be. I just used just wooden clothespins, and so I've had my enlarger on the commode, and my red light. I took the light bulb out of the over the sink and put a big red bulb in, and that's how I started. And so I've had a darkroom ever since. My darkroom today is a digital darkroom. I started that several years ago, and I have scanned numerous. I've probably got 10,000 pictures of film, 10,000 negatives, and I've printed a lot of them. But I did a book called Bob Lilly Reflections, which is hadn't been. I don't think you may be able to find one in somewhere. But that was a book. Sam Blair, who was a sports writer here in Dallas, and he was the editor, and he retired. And after he retired, he wanted to start writing books. And that was the first one I did. And so I furnished about 300 or 400 pictures, black and white, that I had taken a teammate in the meetings with Coach Landry and various things with a different camera, of course. This was a Leica, which was very quiet. And anyway, I think about 200 of those are in that book. And then there's a caption up below each one that talks about what was going on and who it was and so forth.
What's the name of the book?
It's called Bob Lilly's Reflections.
Is it still available on Amazon? Or
well, you can find them. You can find them, yeah, but they're not still in print. I think we had 3 printings, and that was it. But
now, have you ever had a studio show with all your pictures?
I used to have shows all the time. Now, most of these were landscape. Some of them were football players, but landscape type stuff. And I would throw in, some funny antic of some teammate or something. But anyway, I used to do shows, and I did a lot of them in some of the colleges around in various places. But I don't do as much photography because my buddies are gone. And so I carry my cameras. I have some pretty good cameras, and I carry them on trips and things. And when I see a picture, I take it, and then I come home and print. I've got a printer that color lasts 200 years, and then black and white 400. That's much better than the chemical ones.
Wow! So you're doing it all. You're doing all digital now, like everyone.
I'm doing digital, and I really enjoyed the old black and white. And I even had a color dark room with a motorized printer that had chemicals in it.
Yeah, I like the black and white myself.
Black and whites are fun. Yeah, I really enjoy it. I bought all of Ansel Adams' books and studied them, and several other black and white people, the Munches or whatever they are, the family of them, they were all good black and white photographers.
Well, I'm going to see what I can do about picking up a copy of the book.
Reflections.
Reflections. I'm going to really check that out. We're speaking with Mr. Bob Lilly, who is NFL Hall of Famer. He is known as Mr. Cowboy. He has more accomplishments on the football field than I can care to list. And Mr. Lilly, I really appreciate your time. We spent a little over just in enjoying your stories about your career and your post career and things that happened. Is there anything you want to talk about that we didn't mention today?
Jeff, I think I'm run out of juice. But I've enjoyed it. I mean, you bring back memories, and it does. It's amazing. It's also amazing, you know, like I remember college pretty well, and I remember high school pretty well, and of course pros you can't forget, but you know, it's like things are still changing. Football is still football, but it's like the rules and all that are changing the game a little bit.
Yeah, did you see the growth of the NFL in the game from when you played? Because I mean, it's just gone absolutely berserk.
Yeah.
Television and the Super Bowl and everything.
Yeah, it's grown a lot. I mean, when we started, of course the Texans were here, but neither of us could get more than 20,000 fans. That was selling $2 tickets, $2 and $3 tickets, and that was at the Cotton Bowl at the time.
Yep.
Then then we started filling the Cotton Bowl up. Once we started getting in the playoffs, we started getting big crowds. I mean, we would have 75,000 people pretty much every week. Then we went to the Texas Stadium, and I think it held about the same, and it would be full. And now I know Jerry's Stadium out here, AT&T Stadium here for the Cowboys, holds about 90,000, and I think they get close to that. If they don't start win more games, they may not. But right now, they pretty well fill it up. So
I haven't been to the new stadium. I was at the old Texas Stadium, which was fabulous.
Yeah.
And have you been to the new stadium?
Oh yeah, it's fabulous. Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful.
It looks.
It's something. They give tours as well. So if you ever get down this way, you have to take a tour. It's very interesting, and they've got lots of artwork in there. Really nice artwork.
Yeah, I've got to head out to Fort Worth in next month, so I'm going to try to see if I can make my way over.
Yeah, that's where I went to school. Fort Worth's a nice town. You'll like it.
I haven't been in a while, but I have to go for business for my real job, and I'm going to always try to do a little sports sightseeing while I'm out on the road, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I understand that.
So, well,
yeah,
again,
right. Enjoyed visiting with you, Jeff, and you take care of yourself. And
you too. Thank you very much.
See you down the road. You bet.
Okay. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast of the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host for the program again. Our next show will be Sunday, December 8th. I want to wish everyone happy Thanksgiving. I want to thank Mr. Bob Lilly for joining us on the program this week. Hopefully you enjoyed our interview as much as I did. And as always, I want to thank you, the listeners, for hanging in. We went a little long this week because we had a lot of stuff to talk about with Mr. Lilly. And as always, wishing everyone many happy returns.